You'll find information on how to support us at the end of this podcast. Okay, this whole series that I'm going to start teaching on is about healing. And I'm going to teach you everything I know about healing. I've been in the Lord for 35 years. There was a time when I couldn't heal anybody of a headache or anything. I would pray for them, but nothing really would happen. I was really good at getting people filled with the Holy Spirit. People brought people to me, and I would pray for them. Within a couple of minutes, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And I've prayed for tons and tons of people. And I've seen all sorts of different situations happen. But as far as healing going, I saw lots of good healings, magnificent healings. But they were always, when I had nothing else, I'd run out of options, and God would sovereignly come and he would heal me or heal the situation. But, since 2009, when I started praying for 5 hours a day, I kept going for 5 years, and the Lord moved me through a healing ministry, and taught me all about healing, taught me about demons, taught me about to worship. He taught me about finances. He taught me about all these things. He taught me about how to pastor people. And he taught me how to explain the functionality of the kingdom of God around people. And I've held back on teaching healing to people because everybody wants to be, they want to be famous. It's part of their human condition. I call it the human condition. They're hardwired for look at me, look at me. And they'll do anything that they can to get noticed. And anybody they'll just do anything. They'll just do this. They just imagine all sorts of things. Some people do evil things to get noticed. And some people, some Christians, they try to do spiritual things to get noticed. And really, that's not what it's all about. What it's all about is lifting up Jesus, lifting his name up. It's about exalting him. And even Jesus, when they said to him, "Oh, you're just fantastic," he said, "There's no one great except my Father. No one is good except my Father." And he told people, "Don't tell them that I prayed for you, that you got healed by me. Go to the priest and tell them God healed you," which was true. He understood there were laws in the kingdom of God, and he abided by those laws. By not exalting himself, God exalted him far above everything. So we fall into the trap of self-exaltation, exalting ourselves, trying to get a name for ourselves, trying to do something in the kingdom of God with probably the power of God. And if we haven't got the power, we make it up just so that people look at us and say, "You're a great man of God." So I've held back teaching healing and deliverance because people will run off and want to do that before they'll even sit down and clean their life up, before they'll go to the Lord themselves and say, "Clean me up so that I can be a vessel that without too many defects, so that when you send me into battle against the enemy, he won't have too many buttons to push. And you'll be able to protect me." So that's what I've been trying to do, is get people to go after the things that are inside them, the streams, the multiple streams that are all dirtied up, and to get them cleaned up through the Holy Spirit. Because everybody is running around teaching people about healing, but not teaching them about how to maintain their own walk. So people are going out and they're operating in healing, the kicking demons out of people, and the demons just push back. And the people who are ministering, who are not cleaned up properly, they get pushed back. They get pushback from the enemy, and they are unable to hold the force of the enemy that pushes back. And the enemy comes and messes with their life. So it's more important for you to be clean, settled, strong in the Lord, and understand who you are in the Lord, and be endued with power from on high, from God, so that you can go in effectively into the battle. So I'm going to talk to you now all about healing. I'm going to talk to you about how healing works, all the different aspects of healing, and where all sickness comes from. You know, I'm going to talk to you about all the different pitfalls you may have when you start trying to operate in a healing situation, or you've got to pray for somebody. And I'm going to give you strategies, and you can work from the ground up. Just keep moving forward, and I'm going to give you strategies that when the enemy does this, do this. I'm going to give you basic strategies that align yourself for the most successful operation. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about how sickness comes and how demons operate in a person's body. We're going to talk about all about unbelief. We're going to talk about how faith works and how to operate in faith, how to get more faith. And we're going to teach all about that sort of stuff. And we're going to go through practical applications. I'm not going to quote a whole lot of scriptures to you and just leave it at that. I'm not going to say all these healing scriptures to you and just leave it at that. I'm going to break them down and tell you what they mean and how to apply them. And, you know, this healing encompasses healing of the body and spiritual healing. I mean, talking about deliverance as well. Because deliverance and healing come hand in hand. They work together. Because both, you know, when you pray for a person, you know, there are components, not just one thing. There are many components operating that person's life. You know, a lot of the time we just pick a simple thing, schizophrenia. A person who has schizophrenia has an imbalance, a chemical imbalance in their mind, in their brain. And the enemy starts breaking through into that. And then he starts speaking horrible words into their mind. And people hate you and all this sort of stuff. Depression, you know, people get they get a chemical imbalance in their mind and in their brain. Maybe through taking drugs or you know, whatever, you know, outside force or, you know, thing they've taken has caused them to be depressed. And the enemy starts, takes advantage of that. So it's a physiological thing and it's a spiritual thing. So when you're dealing with that is you deal with the physiological thing and you deal with the spiritual thing. And both come together. So I pray for people for the chemical imbalance in their brain to fix up. And I pray for the demons to go. I command them to leave. And then the third part is that those people need to fill themselves up with God. Because if they don't, then that stuff can happen again and it can happen heaps worse. You know, Jesus said that a man, you know, he plunders another guy's house and the demons get kicked out and the house is clean. But when the demons come back, they find the house is clean but it's empty. And he goes and gets another 7 more demons. That's 8 more demons now. So he's 8 times worse. So you need to fill yourself up with God. So when I pray for people, I pray for them for their physical healing and then for their spiritual healing. And then I fill them up with the presence of God. I say, Father, fill every part that's empty because there's a void. A void that God wants to fill. And you also find people when you deliver kick demons out of them. If you go and kick too many demons out at once, they feel very empty because those demons become part of their personality. They believe the demon influence is them. So when you start cancelling all of those entities out that are speaking into their life, there's a great hole in their personality. And they can feel a bit disjointed and they don't know what to do. It's like you've carved away or cut away a part of who they think they are. It's not who they truly are, it's who they think they are. Because that influence is coming from the demons. So when you take that part out, they feel empty and lost. And they don't feel whole anymore. And so, you know, what you do is you get them to fill that part with God. So the mind of Christ comes in, the presence of God, the influence of God. So instead of the influence of demons, that part gets taken away and there's a void, there's a vacancy, and God fills that vacancy with him so he can instruct them. And then you go and you pray over that person, more stuff leaves, and then God comes and fills more stuff inside them of himself. And he takes up residence influencing them. That's basically how it all works. But you know, if you're not clean, when you come up against sickness, you may get sickness. So the idea is to get yourself right first. Go through my website and look at all of the teachings on praying in tongues and sanctification through the Holy Spirit. Do that first, right? And I say to a lot of people who are out there on the street doing healing ministry or deliverance, stop, go home, and take 6 months off and seek God with all your heart through the Holy Spirit. You'll be amazed what God will do for you in that 6 months. Then when he sends you back out again, you'll be empowered. You'll have dunamis power and you'll have ability. So the dunamis power is the dynamite. You'll have punch and you'll have ability. You'll hit the target. You'll have ability to do what needs to be done. So Jesus will equip you through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will bring you power and ability. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to just step by step, I'm going to speak to you about all of the different healing aspects, all the strategies that God has given me, and how to implement those strategies, how to operate without getting too much pushback. And when the pushback happens, you have more power than them, and it's really nothing to push back and send them running. You'll always have the enemy trying to break through the perimeter that God has built around you. But if you do what the Bible says, then you'll be safe. You know, the Bible is the inspired word of God. As men wrote down stuff, the Holy Spirit influenced them. So the Holy Spirit influenced men to write down words on a paper. They were anointed words, and they became what we call our Old and New Testament. So they're anointed. However, a person, when they read the Bible, they can get so much revelation. But if their heart is closed, if they're living in unbelief, if they've got issues in their life, it makes it hard for them to read the Bible and to get all the benefits of that anointed writing. It makes it difficult. Now, if they read the Bible and keep reading the Bible and studying the Word, meditating on the Word, it will get them pretty stable. However, the ice cream on top of the cake is praying in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit operates in a dynamic form. The operation of the Holy Spirit looks at you and works in you dynamically, right? Whereas the Word of God is static, it's there, and there are Rhema and Logos, we understand those things. But the Holy Spirit works on you as an individual, because you're different to everybody else, and everybody else is different to you. So that's where the dynamics of the Holy Spirit operates. That's where the rubber hits the road. So the Word of God, basically, if you read it, it says, go and be full of God through the Holy Spirit. It says, praying in tongues will give you revelation. So do that. The Bible says that mysteries will be revealed to you. What mysteries? The mysteries of the operation of the kingdom of God, which will give you success. And it won't be a hit-miss situation. You'll be able to go forward, and the Holy Spirit will work with you, and you'll see success. And the success will be exponential. You may find a few things you mess up, go back to the Lord. He says, this is what happened. You go back and you do something similar next time, and you get success. You do something else and something doesn't work. You go back to the Lord. You say, Lord, how does this work? And he says to you, this is what you're missing. Try this and listen to this, do this, apply this. And then the next time the situation comes up, you do this, you say this, you apply this, and things happen. And you're forwardly going into success. Everything is is getting better and better. The ministry is working much more holistically, and you're moving forward, and you're getting less failures than you are successes. Successes are keeping, they get to the point where they nearly come to 100% or 98%. And then when you get to that place, I tell you, it's a walk in the park, and you just walk around smiling, because there's nothing more to be done. And then the Lord moves you into a new level of operation, and you understand there's a lot of stuff in that area or that level that you don't understand. So you walk in that, and you have success, and you have a few failures, and you go back to the Lord. You say, how do I fix this up? And you go through the same process over and over, through levels. And as you behold His face, you are transformed from glory to glory. As you look to the Lord Jesus for your guidance and your teaching through the Holy Spirit, and as you meet that criteria, and as you have shown yourself to be faithful, He moves you from level to level. He transforms you from glory to glory to glory to glory. And you move up higher and higher, and you get given much more opportunity. And He holds back on a certain level, things that you would do in a much higher level, because you don't want to see you hurt. He doesn't want to see you damaged. He's trying to keep you functional as close to 100% as possible. That's not always possible, but He tries to keep you as fully functional as you can as you move forward. If you step out of the Lord's direction and you go too far ahead, you're operating out of what God is trying to do with you, and you get beaten up. And it can really cause you to slide back a lot. It can take your confidence. It can take your faith away. It can make you question certain things. Because what did you do? You stepped out of the will of God, and you went off and did your own thing. And you got beaten up. So now's the time to step back and be in Jesus. Not around Him, or not looking at Him from afar off, but be in Him. Okay? Let the Father and the Son be in you, and you in them. And sit at the feet of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. So as you move through this healing teaching, if you haven't gone and done all the other teachings, you're probably wasting your time. You're just going to run up against another brick wall, and I'm sorry. So you need to go back to all the other teachings about, you know, praying in tongues and going through all of the process of letting the Holy Spirit dismantle all the rubbish in your life so that you can go forward in success. And if you've already been doing that, then here's another opportunity for you to understand about healing. Not everybody is called to walk in healing. Not everybody is called to walk in prophetics, to be a prophet. Not everybody is called to kick demons out of people. We all have different functions, and some functions look more glamorous than others, and some look really boring. But I was talking to a brother just the other day or the other night, and the Lord was showing me years ago how an angel, a sentinel angel, who's told to stand in a place and protect an area, has to stand there and wait. And if anything happens, he's to react. And what's he doing in the meantime? So he's a little bit like those guards in Buckingham Palace. They're sentinels. They stand there quiet and stiff, staring into space. Well, what does an angel do? And, you know, angels are greater in power and knowledge and understanding than us. They have access to great stuff that us poor mortals, the spirit-filled mortals, in our situation now, looking through the glass darkly, looking through the glass darkly, are having trouble. So what are they doing? What's keeping their focus? Well, they're in the glory of God. They're, in the meantime, while they're doing their sentinel work, they're operating in the glory of God. They're in the presence of God. It's fullness of joy, even for the angels. And pleasures forevermore, even for angels. Angels like pleasure as well. You know, angels like pleasure. They like joy. They're not mindless creatures. They have personalities, they have intelligence, they have desires, and they have will. Angels even have will. People who preach to you, angels, they don't have will. They're stupid. I'm sorry to say. They haven't read the Bible. Because there are angels who decided, so they must add will. They decided to separate themselves from the Father and go with Lucifer. They weren't dragged from the Father by Lucifer. They decided they had will. A third of them left the kingdom of God. That's amazing. Angels who've been in the glory made a decision to do something different. It's pretty strange. I know. So that's just the way it is. So we have to keep away from false teaching that teaches us a limited way of healing. They say, oh, God can't heal you because of this, this, and this. Probably the hardest thing that God has to deal with is your will. If you shut your heart to Him, you can make it really difficult for God to heal you. He will try and find a way around that, but He won't break through your sovereign will. He'll try and bring situations around that may change your outcome. You may decide differently. Okay, your doctor says, look, you're going to die in a week. You'll go home and you may pray for the first time in your life. So God can step in then. Okay, and you may be a Christian. That's pretty sad. I know lots of Christians who don't pray at all, who've hardly ever prayed. They go to church, they sing the songs, they dance around, they wave their hands in the air, they look like they're lost in the love of God, but they don't even pray. They drink alcohol, they get drunk, they get on drugs, and yet when they go to church, they look the part. They're just actors. That's what hypocrites are, play actors. And the Bible says that hypocrites have their place in the pit of fire. The lake of fire, that's not a good place for play actors. So we need to be real. And if we pray in tongues and seek the Lord, so reading your Bible, right, will give you understanding. Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, will give you personal attention on your defects. Okay? Worshipping, stepping into the presence of God in worship, not just worshipping from a thin veneer outside with, music and singing songs, but truly entering into the presence of God through the Holy Spirit will give you the juice. Worshipping is probably the most powerful thing you can do in the kingdom of God. Worship. Understanding what to do through the Holy Spirit fixing you up, that's great. That'll give you all the understanding of why things are doing things, why things are happening. But worship is the king of everything. But you need to pray in tongues to get understanding so that you can appreciate to go and worship properly. Jesus said the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So what we're going to do is in this teaching section, we're going to teach you all about how healing works, how you can get past certain roadblocks that are involved in other people's lives, because everybody's different and everybody has a different situation, and you need the dynamics of the Holy Spirit to lead you through this minefield. And each healing situation, each deliverance ministry is not the same. It's all different. They all have different properties involved in them. And they all come from demonic stuff. And they all come from broken things. I dropped an air conditioner on my foot and I thought I'd broken it on my ankle. And I thought I'd broken it. And I stood up and I was in agony. And the Holy Spirit said to me straight away, cast the spirit of infirmity out of your foot. So I put my hand on my foot and I just started praying in tongues and I just cast that demon of infirmity out of my foot, and instantly the pain went. I went, that was amazing. I stood up, no pain. Big dent in my foot, but no pain. Wriggled my foot. I was sure that I was pretty well sure it was broken. And I was amazed. And I worked up and down the ladder all the weekend lifting up this air conditioner. I was amazed. It was on a Saturday morning. I got the air conditioner plugged in into the bus by, I think it was Sunday, lunchtime. I had to do a lot of remodeling, and I got the air conditioner in, up and down this ladder. No pain whatsoever. I was amazed. So about maybe a year later, I stepped off the bus and I twisted my foot, my ankle, rolled it. And it was in agony. And I got out and I looked at it and I went, in the name of Jesus, I just come against that spirit of infirmity. I bind you up and kick you out of my foot. And nothing happened. And I was really, really disappointed. I said to the Lord, what happened here? I was still in pain. My leg was starting to swell up, my foot. And he said there was no spirit of infirmity. I didn't tell you to cast any spirit of infirmity out. So I went to the Lord and said, okay, how does that work? He says to me, well, sometimes a spirit of infirmity will jump in when something's broken. And a spirit of infirmity didn't do that at that time. So why would you cast it out? Okay, that doesn't... So I got caught up in cookie-cutting ministry. And I don't do that anymore. Everything that happens has a different variables attached to it. And the idea in all healing ministry and deliverance ministry is to let the Holy Spirit teach you what is happening so that you can target the situation. Right, so you need a couple of components. You need to be clean as possible yourself, so that when the enemy tries to push back on you, he can't find anything to push back on, or he has not much of a grip on you, and you can easily shake it off. And you also need to instinctively follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in all things. You know, it's just the way I minister now, every time I look to the Lord for the leading of what's happening.
When
it comes to ministry, there's not that many different prayers you have to say or commands you have to say. Okay, a lot of it is stemmed down to probably maybe a dozen things. But the problem is, which one of those dozen is working? Which one of those dozen is not happening? And the Holy Spirit will tell you, and he will give you the strategy of those, probably those dozen or two dozen things. I found in the 35 years of walking in the Lord that there's, I can just talk in a general way, there's not hundreds of different things. There's probably about maybe two dozen different things. And it's a matter of finding out how those things are interacting. Sometimes there's unbelief, unforgiveness. Sometimes there's a spirit of infirmity. Sometimes there's a generational curse. Sometimes it's witchcraft. Sometimes it's a combination of a few of those things. Sometimes it's hate, it's anger. Sometimes it's depression or a wounded spirit. Sometimes it's chemical problem, an environmental problem, and the enemy there's a door has opened up. Sometimes it's something that they've done inadvertently that has opened doors up. Sometimes it's words they've spoken that have caused disease to come upon their life. Sometimes it's just neglect. So all a few things. There's probably another dozen things. But basically, that's it. And, it's about knowing how to use those things in real time, in a dynamic way, through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a simplistic way of speaking about it. But basically, when it comes down to it, it's not that complex. It's very simple. You don't have to be a rocket science to do this, this stuff. My brothers and sisters, it's embarrassingly simple. But you know what makes people have no success is they do not have the dunamis power and they do not have the ability. They're not covered by the blood of Jesus. They don't understand about the blood. They don't understand about the word of their testimony. They don't understand how darkness fights against us. They don't understand about armies. They don't understand about angels. They don't understand about anything. They just know how to say the stuff. They go up to a person, they say, in the name of Jesus, I bind up that sickness now. In the name of Jesus, I bind up that spirit of infirmity. In the name of Jesus, I break that generational curse now. And they're just hoping that that's what it is. It's not. It may not be. It may be. But you know, the best thing, instead of just getting a gun and firing into space and hoping you'll hit something, just a lucky dip ministry, it's better for the Holy Spirit to say to you, it's witchcraft. This is witchcraft. What type of witchcraft, Holy Spirit? This type of witchcraft. What caused this witchcraft? This. Okay. Okay. What do I say? Okay. I say this. Okay. And then I use this. And now what do we do now, Holy Spirit? Look, we need to break some generational curses. And it's only on their mother's side. Okay, so it's on their mother's side. All these things, they hit the target and you get victory time after time after time. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to break it all down. We're going to separate all the parts. And we're going to try and explain in a very simplistic way how things work. You're still going to have to go to the scriptures, and I'll provide in this teaching section on healing a whole lot of scriptures. I encourage you to read them and meditate on them, and because they'll go hand in hand. But we're just not going to just talk scriptures and just say, you can do it. You know, you're the sons of light. You know, you can lay hands. The Bible says believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You know, that's nice. But, you know, why doesn't it work? Can you please tell me that? Well, we're going to tell you why certain things don't work when you minister to people. We're going to show you how to fix it up. Okay, so we're going to leave it there. So if you'd like to help Donna and I out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.